And now, Paul Meacham, Jr.
We're not always eager to see someone when they arrive. In fact, a person could either comfort us, or we could find it very threatening if they told us they were on the way. I think of a small child who is alone in a house that is dark and is afraid and doesn't know what to do, and he hears his father's voice, "I'm coming, I'll be right there." Great comfort has come to this child because his father is on the way. However, I think of the same small child who has done something wrong, something that his father specifically told him not to do. He hears the same father's voice, "I'm coming, I'll be right there." But this time it brings terror to the child, because he knows that when his father comes, it won't be with loving and comforting arms, but rather to punish him for the wrong that he has done. Jesus has said, "I will come again." Do you find great comfort, or do you find great fear in those words? It is certainly our privilege and our pleasure to study God's Word together with you. You know that we began a study 2 weeks ago. It's based on four very special words from John chapter 14 and verse 3. That as Jesus began to prepare His disciples, who would later be His apostles, for His departure from this world and His return to heaven, He gave them words of comfort, words of reassurance. He told them in verse 14, or chapter 14 and verse 3, "I will come again." Jesus wanted them to know that He was not forgetting them, that He was not leaving them for all time, but that He would come again. As we mentioned in our opening remarks, are you comforted by that thought? Are you comforted by the reminder that Jesus will come back? I hope so. Now, in our study so far, we've noticed some very important things. First of all, that Jesus is coming back. There should be no dispute on it. We know this to be true because in the Bible, Jesus promised such from John 14 and verse 3. In addition to that, we know because He's true to His promises that He's coming back even if men don't believe, even if men scoff or make fun of the idea that Jesus will return. We also know that while He is going to return, He is not returning for the purpose of atoning for sins. We also looked at the fact that He's not returning to this earth, but rather that we will meet Him in the air and be with Him forever. We then ask the question, what are some of the things that will happen when He returns? What events will be associated with that return? And we noticed in our study last week that the dead will be raised from the dead. Also, that those who are living when He returns will be changed from a mortal body to an immortal. We also noticed that the earth will be destroyed, that Jesus isn't coming back to establish a kingdom. Rather, He's coming back to take the faithful to be with Him, to consign those who are evil to a devil's hell, and to destroy the earth. It will be completely wiped out with fervent heat. Now also, at this coming of Christ, we have another great event that will take place. And it's our topic for the rest of this program. All will be judged. The dead will be raised, the living changed, the earth destroyed, and all will be judged. Notice the writing of the Hebrews writer in chapter 9 and verse 27. He said, "As it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Just as surely as all mankind is consigned to death, all men who are born will either die or they will remain alive until the time that Jesus returns." We know that death is the end of this life for all people unless Jesus comes in their life. But on the other side of death, there is judgment. And it will occur at that time that Jesus returns. It's important for us to realize that all will be judged. Notice Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 30. Paul said, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. Now notice the last part. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead. God is going to judge. Now, Jesus was the agent through which judgment will be made. The Word of God is the standard by which judgment will be made. But all will be judged. And God has given us assurance of that in the fact that He raised Christ from the dead. If we believe what the Bible teaches regarding the resurrection of Christ, and we certainly should, then we should know that that is the Bible's reassurance to us that just as Jesus was raised from the dead, just as surely as that took place, we will all be judged. Now notice that Christ is the agent by which we are judged. It is through Him. God the Father has set up Him, God the Son, as the judge of all on that day. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, Paul told the Corinthians, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Notice, it's the judgment seat of Christ where we must appear. It is there that we will give answer. Christ is our judge. We're also taught this in John chapter 5, about verses 26 and 27, that Jesus is the one who will judge us, that the Father has placed that judgment within His hands. Now, it's important for us to realize that when that judgment takes place, we will not be judged according to how other people have lived. In fact, it's important for us to realize, and I find it very comforting, that everyone answers for himself. Notice Paul to the Romans in chapter 14, beginning in verse 11. "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Notice those last words. Everyone shall give an account of himself to God. This should be comforting for all of us. You will not have to stand on the day of judgment and give answer for my deeds. But I will not stand on the day of judgment and give answer for your deeds. Every one of us must give an account to God of himself. I have to answer for my own deeds. So I am not going to be judged by what you've done, nor are you going to be judged according to what I have done. We also are not going to be judged according to the standard that other men have set. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Paul said, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves." Notice what these people did. They, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Now, this is a trap that many of us fall into. We look at the people around us, people that we work with, our family members, possibly even people with whom we worship, and we try to judge ourselves as to how we measure up compared to them. Now, we need to be careful not to do that, for no man is the standard. Rather, God's Word is the standard for us. If we want to measure ourselves, that's good. In fact, on a study recently about the Lord's Supper, we noticed the fact that it is a time of reflection that has been given to us, that each one of us may examine himself. We should see how we measure up, but we should see how we measure according to God's standard and not the deeds of other men. We will not be judged according to the standard of other men. But we also will not be judged according to any denomination's creed. Many denominations, if not all, have written a book. Now, these books take on different names, various creeds or confessions of faith or manuals that they write. The purpose of these books is to explain how a person should live and what a person should believe. Now, we reject all of those books because God has given us a book for that very purpose, to show us what we should believe and how we should live. And since God has provided us a book that does that, it's foolish for us to accept the book of any man or any group of men that has the same purpose. Not only would it be foolish to accept them because God has provided that for us already, but also because in the end, when we stand in judgment, we are not going to be judged according to the books written by men. Notice Mark chapter 13 and verse 31. He says there, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Now, creed books written by denominations are things of this earth. They can give you the names of the men who wrote them and give you the dates of the committees and the councils that met to make the decisions that are written in these creed books. These books are of this earth, whereas the Bible is of heaven. It's from above. It is God's word, not the words of men. Those words of men will pass away. All things of this earth will pass away. But the word of the Lord, this book shall never pass away. It is that that will stand in the end. Because of that, we will not be judged according to the creeds of denominations. But we also will not be judged according to the writings of theologians. Those are the scholars of our time or any times past. In John chapter 6 and beginning in verse 68, John recorded that Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." What a tremendous confession of the deity of Christ. "We have come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, he asked to whom he should go because Jesus had the words of eternal life. No theologian, no scholar, no man has those words that brings about eternal life. Only the Christ. And those words are recorded for us through the Bible. But we're not going to be judged by the feelings of man either. This is very hard, especially here in America, for us to learn. We have become a society in America, and this may be true of many other countries as well, where the most important thing to us is how we feel about something. We're no longer interested so much in what the Bible says, but rather, how do I feel about it? A very important principle is laid down for us in Isaiah chapter 55, beginning in verse 8. Isaiah wrote, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." He's recording the words of the Lord. "Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Man reads the Bible and says, "I read that, I understand it, but I don't agree with it." God said, "You don't have to agree, because my ways are higher than yours. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Now you conform yourself to me. Submit yourself and conform to my word." That's what we must do if we're going to be pleasing to God. If we don't do that, we can't be saved. In the end, we're also not going to be judged by the law of Moses. Now, this is a law that God gave, and God gave it through the man, Moses. It was a covenant from God to the Israelite nation. But the time of that covenant has passed. The usefulness for that covenant has gone away and has been replaced for us by the New Testament. We will not be judged by that law. Notice Paul to the Romans in chapter 7 and verse 4. "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." Now, this tells us that we have been released from that old law that came down through Moses, and we have been released from it by the body of Christ. When he died, he nailed that law to the cross. It's been taken away. We are now free from it, that we might be married to Christ, to the one who died for us. We will not be judged by that law. By what will we be judged? We will be judged by the Word of God. Specifically, by the New Testament law that Christ came and established for us. In John 12 and verse 48, Jesus warns, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." That last day is when Jesus comes. And just as the dead will be raised, the living changed, the earth destroyed, we will be judged by the Word of God according to our own actions. Notice 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." The standard is the Bible, and we are going to have our own actions compared to that Bible, compared to God's Word, to know whether or not we have done what we should have done. At this point, we see the dead raised, we see the living changed, we see the earth destroyed, we see Christ sitting in judgment, and it is at this point that men will be assigned their eternal destiny. Notice, if you would, the record that Matthew gives for us in Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 32. Verses 32 through 34 say that all nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from the other, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set his sheep on the right hand and his goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." See, God has provided a place of great reward to those who are his sheep, those who are the faithful. But that's not the end of it, for that's the assignment to eternal reward of the obedient. But what about those on the left? Notice verse 41. "Then he will also say to those on the left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Now, this shows us that there are two different destinies, but they will be assigned on this day of judgment. Either the reward for those on his right hand, or the punishment for those on his left. One will be assigned. Notice verse 46. "And these," speaking of those on the left, "will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Two destinies. When Jesus comes, the dead will be raised. The living will be changed. The earth will be destroyed. All men will be judged. And our eternal destiny will be assigned to us at that time. What a terrible and magnificent day of the Lord. Whether it's a good day or whether it's a sad day depends on how we live our lives while we're here.